This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 678 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. Israel has bombed and attacked areas across Gaza this week, killing at least 564 Palestinians and injuring nearly 3,100 between August 6th and August 13th, according to official records from the Ministry of Health in Gaza. The number of casualties among starving people trying to access food aid has increased to nearly 1,900 killed and approximately 13,600 injured since May 27th, when Israel and the U.S. opened its private so-called aid distribution sites, opening fire on crowds every day since. On Wednesday, Israeli forces killed at least 100 Palestinians, the health ministry reported, including 61 in attacks in Gaza City, as Israel's destruction of northern Gaza intensifies. 37 starving people were killed on Wednesday while trying to obtain food aid. An airstrike in the Zeitoun neighborhood of Gaza City on August 11th killed an entire family, the only survivor being a young girl named Lorin An-Nadim, who was trapped beneath the rubble, pinned against a mattress that Lorin said was her parents' bed. The Palestinian Civil Defense recorded her rescue. That's from the Civil Defense on August 11th. Their spokesperson, Mahmoud Basal, said that air raids on Gaza City have been steadily intensifying for days, as the Israeli army is using bombs, drones, and highly explosive munitions that cause massive destruction to residential buildings. The Civil Defense stated earlier this week that one of its firefighters was killed in his family's tent shelter in Al-Mawasi in central Gaza. More than 135 rescue workers with the Civil Defense have been killed over the past 22 months. Israel's escalations of attacks in Gaza City this week killed at least 7 children in a single airstrike on a building in the Zeitoun neighborhood on Sunday, August 10th. In an extremely graphic video, the bodies of 7 small children, most of whom appear to be babies and toddlers, lay bloodied and strewn on the floor at a hospital as family members mourned over them. Later that evening on August 10th, Israel directly attacked a journalist's tent in the courtyard of El Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, assassinating 6 broadcast reporters and photojournalists as Israel's hunting and targeted killings of high-profile witnesses to its crimes of genocide continue with impunity. Al Jazeera's Anas Al-Sharif, a 28-year-old reporter who millions in Palestine and around the world relied on every day for his coverage, was killed alongside the network's correspondent Mohamed Kareka, their cameramen Ibrahim Zahir and Mohamed Nofal, journalists Mu'amin Aliwa and Mohamed Al-Khaldi, and Saad Jundia, a Palestinian civilian who happened to be present. This clip was recorded just moments after the airstrike, when friends and colleagues of the reporters and their community realized that they had been killed. They tried to retrieve the journalists' shredded bodies as their clothes were still on fire. That was filmed just moments after the airstrike on the journalist's tent at Al-Shifa Hospital. Just 3 weeks ago, Anas Al-Sharif's appeal to all international press freedom and human rights organizations to do something to intervene against renewed threats against him by the Israeli military. He stated on July 23rd, quote, "Once again, the Israeli army spokesperson has launched a campaign of threats and incitement against me because of my work as a journalist with Al Jazeera. I reaffirm I, Anas al-Sharif, am a journalist with no political affiliations. My only mission is to report the truth from the ground, as it is, without bias." Al-Sharif's friend and fellow reporter Ibrahim Nofal, whose brother Mohammed was killed in the airstrike on August 10th, had filmed Anas al-Sharif reacting to the video of Israeli military spokesperson Avichai Adrai, who openly threatened al-Sharif on social media. Anas watches the video on a phone, in a tent, surrounded by his colleagues. He says, quote, "I really don't know, Ibrahim, what this guy wants from me. He wants me to stop covering the news. He wants me to stop covering the massacres that are happening. Despite that, I will continue until my last breath. Whether he threatens me or wants to bomb me, the mission will continue until the last breath, God willing. God willing, we are not afraid." Anas al-Sharif and his colleagues who were murdered on August 10th in their tent at Al-Shifa Hospital are six of at least 238 reporters and media workers killed by the Israeli army as the world powers and international agencies continue to fail the Palestinians of Gaza nearly 2 years into this genocide. Euromed Human Rights Monitor said that Israel, quote, has turned its horrific 22-month war on the Gaza Strip into a slaughterhouse for Palestinian journalists, systematically targeting them and their workplaces in an effort to enforce a total media blackout across the enclave. Anas al-Sharif's final broadcast for Al Jazeera aired earlier in the day, focused on tiny children who were suffering from Israel's deliberate starvation policy. Al-Sharif, wearing his press vest and helmet, reported from a Gaza City hospital and told the stories of each child in the ward in a harrowing 4-minute report. Later that evening, Al-Sharif posted the following, quote, "The occupation is threatening to invade Gaza seriously, and the city has been bleeding for 22 months under the fire of land, sea, and air. Its martyrs number in the tens of thousands and its wounded in the hundreds of thousands. And if this madness does not stop, nothing will remain of Gaza but rubble, and the image and voice of its people will fade away, and history's memory will record you as silent witnesses to a genocide crime that no one did anything to stop." Minutes before he was killed, Anas al-Sharif posted 13 seconds of video of heavy bombing in Gaza City. He captioned this clip, quote, "Relentless bombardment. For 2 hours, the Israeli aggression has intensified on Gaza City." Two days earlier, on Friday, August 8th, Anas al-Sharif documented an airstrike on homes in western Gaza City. While he was being hunted by the Israelis and while the Israeli government announced that they were planning to intensify their obliteration of northern Gaza. Quote, "Night and day, the Israeli raids on Gaza do not stop," he wrote. "And this is one of them, just moments ago, targeting a house west of Gaza City." In April of this year, just days after Israel assassinated his colleague, 23-year-old Hossam Shabat, in a targeted drone strike, Anas al-Sharif wrote his last will and testament to be published upon his death. I'll read excerpts of it here. "This is my will and my final message. If these words reach you, know that Israel has succeeded in killing me and silencing my voice. God knows I gave every effort and all my strength to be a support and a voice for my people ever since I opened my eyes to life in the alleys and streets of the Jabalia refugee camp. My hope was that God would extend my life so I could return with my family and loved ones to our original town of occupied Ascalon, Al-Majdal. But God's will came first and his decree is final. I have lived through pain in all its details, tasted suffering and loss many times, yet I never once hesitated to convey the truth as it is, without distortion or falsification, so that God may bear witness against those who stayed silent, those who accepted our killing, those who choked our breath, and whose hearts were unmoved by the scattered remains of our children and women, doing nothing to stop the massacre that our people have faced for more than a year and a half. I entrust you with Palestine, the jewel in the crown of the Muslim world, the heartbeat of every free person in this world. I entrust you with its people, with its wronged and innocent children who have never had the time to dream or live in safety and peace. Their pure bodies were crushed under thousands of tons of Israeli bombs and missiles, torn apart and scattered across the walls. I urge you not to let chains silence you, nor borders restrain you. Be bridges toward the liberation of the land and its people, until the sun of dignity and freedom rises over our stolen homeland. I entrust you to take care of my family. I entrust you with my beloved daughter Shem, the light of my eyes, whom I never got the chance to watch grow up as I had dreamed. I entrust you with my dear son Salah, who I had wished to support and accompany through life until he grew strong enough to carry my burden and continue the mission. I entrust you with my beloved mother, whose blessed prayers brought me to where I am, whose supplications were my fortress, and whose light guided my path. I also entrust you with my lifelong companion, my beloved wife, Salah Bayan, from whom the war separated me for many long days and months. Yet she remained faithful to our bond, steadfast as the trunk of an olive tree that does not bend, patient, trusting in God, and carrying the responsibility in my absence with all her strength and faith. I urge you to stand by them, to be their support after God Almighty. If I die, I die steadfast upon my principles. Do not forget Gaza, and do not forget me in your sincere prayers for forgiveness and acceptance. Condolences and messages of grief and love poured in from Anas al-Sharif's colleagues, from friends, and from people across Gaza and around the world. Reporter Ahmed al-Najjar in Khan Yunis told Al Jazeera on Tuesday that the targeted airstrike on the agency's staff was the most devastating loss Gaza's journalist community has faced. Journalist Salah al-Jafarawi mourned Anas al-Sharif and posted this video of their reunion during the so-called ceasefire in January of this year. That was from journalist Saleh al-Jafarawi. Anas al-Sharif, 28 years old, was buried in Gaza City along with his colleagues. Mohamed Kureka, a correspondent for Al Jazeera who was also killed in the airstrike on the reporter's tent at Al-Shifa Hospital, was the only son of his parents. In 2024, Israeli forces executed his mother, who sought shelter and medicine at Al-Shifa Hospital during the second assault on the compound, according to his colleague Nur Oda. Mohammed was killed a few steps away from the crime scene of his mom's murder, Oda said. Kureka was described by his wife as extremely devoted to his mother, to his children, and to her. Quote, "We were unnaturally close," she said. "He spent his time between his work and his home. He dedicated his life to his wife and children. Mohammed and Anas had a very strong relationship, but we never expected them to meet the same end." Meanwhile, as Israel slaughters professional eyewitnesses to its crimes, Western and regional states continue to send lethal airdropped parcels of food aid instead of forcing Israel to open the crossings to the 22,000 aid trucks that remain blocked. On Saturday, August 9th, an airdropped box fell on a child in central Gaza, killing him instantly. The day before, on August 8th, an aid parcel landed on top of people and severely injured 19-year-old Karam al-Kahlout as he was trying to obtain water for his disabled father. Mahmoud Bassal, the spokesperson for Gaza's civil defense, standing at the teenager's bedside in the hospital, called for stopping the airdrops and instead ensure aid delivery through official crossings, quote, "in a safe and organized manner, guaranteeing it reaches those in need without endangering civilians' lives." This is what we've been warning about since the Israeli occupation agreed to the Arab countries' airdrops to Gaza, Basel stated. The Gaza government media office stated on August 9th that at least 23 Palestinians have been killed and 124 wounded from these airdrops since the beginning of the genocide. Euromed Human Rights Monitor released statistics on the exact amount of aid that has been dropped so far. From July 26th to August 11th, only 1,218 aid packages were dropped onto Gaza, the human rights group stated. Quote, Gaza's actual need is around 600 trucks of aid every single day to stop famine and begin recovery. Over 17 days, that equals to 10,200 trucks. Since one truckload equals 30 airdropped packages, Gaza requires about 18,000 packages each day. The 1,218 packages dropped in that period equal just 40.6 truckloads in total, or an average of only 2.4 trucks per day, a mere 0.4% of what is actually needed. At this rate, it would take 250 days of airdrops to deliver the same amount of aid Gaza requires in a single day, Euromed said. However, Denmark, in coordination with the United Arab Emirates and Jordan, announced that it would start participating in lethal airdrops, joining the UK, Canada, France, and Spain, among other countries who have decided to turn to public relations management instead of physically stopping Israel's genocide, starvation, and siege on Gaza. Meanwhile, Israeli forces at the Gaza boundary crossings and Israeli and American mercenary forces operating the private so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation sites continue to trap, injure, and kill starving Palestinians every day. Doctors Without Borders released a report this week titled, "This is not aid, this is orchestrated killing," which draws on medical data, patient testimonies, and firsthand medical witnessing, quote, to demonstrate that what has been branded as aid distribution is in fact a system of institutionalized starvation and dehumanization. Joining similar calls by Palestinian civil society and United Nations agencies, the human rights group called for the immediate dissolution of the GHF distribution mechanism and urged states and private donors to refrain from funding what is essentially a death trap. And Israeli forces continue to target starving Palestinians at crossings in northern Gaza, who try to obtain limited amount of food aid, and those who are working to protect the aid from armed Israel-backed gangs. Euromed Monitor's Maha Husseini reported on Wednesday that an Israeli airstrike targeted a group of security personnel, killing 12 and injuring dozens more. Husseini said that, quote, for weeks, aid has been looted by armed gangs operating under the protection of Israeli forces. Gangs are allowed to access areas where regular citizens are barred. Security personnel were deployed today, Wednesday, to protect aid and ensure it reached UN and international organizations' warehouses. They have now been targeted again, she said. The Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza reported on Wednesday that it recorded 8 deaths due to starvation in a 24-hour period, including 3 children. This brings the total number of victims of Israel's starvation to 235, including 106 children. Reporter Moaz Abutaha interviewed Dr. Ahmed Al-Farah at Nasser Medical Complex this week, who talked about his 2-year-old patient, Sham Koide, who weighs just 4 kilograms, less than 9 pounds.
Sham is 2 years old. Now she's in the hospital. Her weight is just 4 kilograms. Her weight should be 12 kilograms. She lost nearly 8 kilograms from her actual weight. She's complaining from severe acute malnutrition. As we can see, she just have the skin over the bone. The muscles are lost, the fat tissue is lost, she's dehydrated, she has sunken eyes, she's apathic, she's irritable, she's anxious, she has severe distended abdomen, she has hepatomegaly, she has signs of rickets due to vitamin D deficiency, rachitic rosary, still open anterior fontanelle, irritability, wide broadening of the lower limbs and the upper limbs. So she needs to evacuated outside as soon as possible to be diagnosed.
That was Dr. Ahmed Al-Farah at the Nasser Medical Complex in Khan Yunis. Mohammed Zakout, Gaza's director of general hospitals, told Al Jazeera Arabic that, quote, these cases will soon be in the thousands if nothing changes. Children are among the weakest and most vulnerable to malnutrition. We have no treatments to save them, not even intravenous feeding, which is used in emergency cases like those we are seeing now. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight the story of the last date in Gaza by Asim Al-Nabi, writing from Gaza City. Quote, it's just a date, a single 4-centimeter piece of dried fruit. But here in Gaza, where nothing comes easily and everything holds meaning, even a date becomes a symbol of endurance, sacrifice, and love. I kept this date for 6 months. I'd found it and saved it for what I imagined would be the darkest days, the days when food would disappear from the shelves, when starvation would wrap itself around our lives, when sharing even a crumb would become an act of resistance. Those days are now. No one in my family wanted to eat the last date and deny someone else its sweetness. That's who we are in Gaza, not just survivors, but givers. We give even what little we have left, not because we are saints, but because love and dignity are all we can hold on to when everything else has been taken from us. War can reveal the worst in people. Here in Gaza, it also brings out the best. Our streets are filled with pain and rubble, but also with kindness. Small gestures like passing along a date speak volumes about who we are. Some may say it's just a date, but I see in it the whole of Gaza's story: deprivation and generosity, despair and defiance, the tight knots of family and the unwillingness to surrender to cruelty. This date, saved and shared, is a tiny act of rebellion in the face of a system trying to strip us of everything, even the right to nourish our children. In Gaza, we have redefined wealth. Wealth is not what you hoard, but what you give away, and is measured in the strength of the bonds that hold families and neighbors together. In a world that tries to reduce us to statistics, we have become storytellers. A single date carries the story of a family's love, a child's survival, a father's absence, and a people's refusal to stop being human. People ask how we survive, how we keep going when the bombs keep falling, when hunger gnaws at our children, when there is no certainty that we'll live to see the next sunrise. My answer is, we survive for one another. We survive because in Gaza, no one wants to eat the last date. And we survive because we are all dreaming that a day might come soon with freedom and an abundance of dates. The date is gone now, eaten by a child too young to know what it means. But the act remains, rippling outward like a pebble cast into water. It is in these ripples, in the stories we tell, in the way we refuse to forget, that Gaza lives on. Those are excerpts from The Story of the Last Date in Gaza by Asim Al-Nabi, writing from Gaza City on electronicintifada.net. Asim is a father, an engineer, and a PhD researcher, and serves as the spokesperson for the Gaza municipality. And finally, as we always do, we wanted to highlight people expressing joy, determination, and resilience across Palestine and around the world. A new assessment by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations and the UN's Satellite Center revealed this week that 98.5% of cropland in the Gaza Strip is either destroyed in no-go zones imposed by the Israeli military, or both. Palestinians have stewarded, cared for, and made fruitful the entirety of that land for millennia, of course. But in a tiny corner of the 1.5% of land that they can still access and reclaim for food production as Israel's starvation on Gaza accelerates, members of the Samir Project, a mutual aid organization in Gaza, recorded video of an abundance of cucumber and zucchini plants, along with tomatoes, growing in the sunshine across about 2.5 acres. This was the product of a collaboration between the Samir Project and the Arab Group for the Protection of Nature, an organization that aims to protect, sustain, and reestablish sovereignty over Palestine's natural resources and food. And finally, musician and music teacher Ahmed Mouin led a song with his students, using the incessant drones overhead as instruments. The song, "Carry It, Jamal, Carry It," Mouin says, is a call to lift the weight of truth, the voice of courage, and the spirit that refuses to be silenced.
One, how are you? I miss you a lot, really. Today there's a lot of drones. I'm gonna sing a song today with drone. شيل شيل يا جمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهيل ليل يا ليلو ويل ويل عالظالمي ويل ويل من الله لا أسهر على نجوم الليل أنا نديلو شيل شيل يا جمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهيل ليل يا ليلو ويل ويل عالظالمي ويل ويل من الله لا أسهر على نجوم الليل أنا نديلو شيل شيل يا جمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهيل
Was Ahmed Mouin with his students, and that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza.
You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.